2021 to all of you. It is a real honor and a privilege anytime I get to share a message with you. I was just kind of hanging with the Lord, and the Lord brought out of Luke, and Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. And oftentimes when we look past, you know, we enter a new year, we often remember the past year. Some of you have wonderful things to remember about 2020. Some of you have very challenging, difficult, heartache things that happened in 2020. But I started asking the Lord, what was it about Lot's wife that you would like us to remember? Just give you a little synopsis of Lot's wife. So if you can go back and read it in Genesis, starting in chapter 13. Lot's uncle was Abraham, and they kind of hung together, but it got to the point where their herdsmen were in conflict with one another, and Abraham just said, you know what, Lot, this just isn't good, so we're going to separate. So what part of the land do you want? He gave Lot the option, and Lot's looking around. He goes, ooh, I like this area right over here. It's really green, a lot of vegetation. This is the land I want. Abraham's perfect, great, you go over there. And so they end up, Lot and his wife end up settling over by Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham transitioned over there. Well, during that time where Lot is just living, there came a time where the kings were in conflict. And during that time, Lot and his family and all of his possessions were taken captive. So Lot's wife saw the bickering, the fighting. So she was removed. They had to move to a new area. Then the kings were at war, and they were taken captive. And then Uncle Abraham came, and he rescued them. And so they're back. She lived through that. And then they're at this place, and you know, I don't need to tell you about the wickedness and the evil of Sodom and Gomorrah. You can go back and read that. And there came a time where God said, it's time to transition. I'm calling you to the mountains. Go to the mountains. And so Lot's wife was in this moment, and the angel of the Lord, the angels came, said, it's time to move. This place right here that you have been living in is a place of limitation. And I'm calling you out of that place of limitation, and I'm saying, head for the mountain. Head to the mountain. Go to the mountain. And just to know, when the Lord calls you out of that place of limitation, and he says, go, to move, have motion, go to the mountains, it's always for us to encounter his goodness. He leads us to his goodness. He leads us to his faithfulness. He leads us to a place of hope, and he leads us to a place of joy and to encounter him. And I started thinking about, okay, so Jesus, you made this comment in Luke, remember Lot's wife. And I started thinking about, have you ever stopped and thought, what did the kids say? What was going through the kids' minds? Well, they're all going to the mountain because God said, go to the mountain. And they turn, and then they saw, oh, mom. I started thinking about my kids, you know, and then I started thinking, what was Lot thinking? I'm sure it was more than just a slap in the head. Like, you know, just comment was already made by Jeff during communion. The decisions we make, even the small ones, have a generational impact. And those small decisions we make lead to the big ones. And it doesn't matter if it's the small ones or the large ones. It will always have an impact. So just know the decisions you make. And another comment I wanted to make. Some of you, as you start looking back on the past year, you start thinking about the impact that you've made. And I think as we get older, we start looking back in our life, like the impact, Lord, have you called me? Have I fulfilled it? And I just had this feeling, the Lord saying to all of us, your ceiling is not high enough for the next generation. So we get to, and that's another way to say the inheritance that you will leave can have even be greater. So this message is for all of us. It is going after the more, that if we've come to a place of just being settled or comfortable or okay with the status quo, I'm just here to kind of poke you, stir you up, and I'm going to be rapid fire. Just so you know, I'm going to go at it pretty fast, but it's just to encourage each one of us, encourage each other. There's more. Your ceiling can be higher. Your ceiling can be higher because we want to leave the highest ceiling possible for this next generation. Just leave a go. Okay, so I started thinking about, so that was one thought I had about Lot's wife, and I don't really think it was, you know, for me to stand up here. Okay, let's remember Lot's wife. So just remember, if you disobey the Lord, there is a pillar of salt waiting for you. I mean, I really honestly don't think that was the heart of, hey, let's remember Lot's wife. There's pillars of salts. You know, I just don't think that was it. And I think that would be a terrible way to approach that. And so as I was waiting on the Lord and just asking him questions, these were some of the things that I thought about. And I think that he was bringing up. You know, if you think about Lot's wife and what she was, just life in general, I am sure when she, the separation from Abraham, that caused some stuff inside of her. It could have caused some fatigue, some weariness. I think being taken captive and watching your possessions being taken, I think some of that could be just, you know, the disappointment, a little frustration, some sorrow, some grief. And I also wonder when the angel, when she got the word of the Lord from the angel to head to the mountains, I wonder if she started thinking about, wait a minute, this is not what I expected. This is not how I thought it was going to go. What about all the prayers I prayed? What about the intercession I had? What about these relationships that just didn't go as I thought where they were going to go? What about, and I wonder if she struggled with regret. Like, oh, I should have. And I don't know if any of you have ever really struggled with regret, but it's that holding on of the past that just kind of doesn't let you go because you should have done something different, should have done something different. What if there was, and all of that encompassed into this whole bitterness thing? Like her heart was just like, this should have been different. This should have been different because Sodom and Gomorrah probably should have been different. I could have made a greater impact, or I didn't pray the prayers I should have prayed. I didn't have the relationships I should have had. And I wonder if all of that was just brewing in her heart. And so when the Lord said, head to the mountains, I'm transitioning you, this place right here is a place of limitation, something caused her to pull back. There's oftentimes in transition, because it has everything to do about vision and purpose and destiny, that has everything about moving forward, that our past literally will try to yank us back. That is just what our past does. And so if we don't deal with our past, that's what we look like in the spirit. We look like monuments of pillars of salt in the spirit when we have undealt issues in our life. I know that we've spent some time dealing with issues. This is how I thought, this is how I felt like the Lord wanted us for the start of the new year. Your scars, you should never be embarrassed of your scars or ashamed of your scars. So when you look at like, yeah, this is when I stood in faith and I'm still standing in faith. I have that over my body. I have 30 years plus standing in faith. And yes, there were moments where I thought, just forget it, because I guess this is just the way my life's going to be. Then I get prodded again and like, no, I will die standing in faith that I believe that God is faithful and I believe that God is a miracle working God and I will experience God, the goodness of God in the land of the living. So I just make declarations and I'm like, yeah, that's that scar right there. That's right there. I have it here. And you know what? That's our testimony of having victory, is when you can look at it and you're like, I'm not ashamed of these scars. I am not ashamed. I'm not embarrassed by them. This is a testimony of my relationship with the King of Kings, with my deliverer, with my redeemer, with my restorer, with my healer. You know, some of us are marked up by more scars than others. Whatever the battles you've been ranging. But this is where I felt like with the Lord. I felt like we were to be reconciled with our past. That when you look at your past, it's reconciled. It doesn't have that pull on you. When God says, and he's saying to us, go to the mountains. Go to the mountains. I am calling you higher. You are called to ascend. This is your purpose. This is your destiny. There is vision. There is fulfillment over here. And there's something about our past says, and it's like a self-sabotaging thing. We start replaying the things. Oh, I have a voice of fear, the voice of doubt, the voice of failure. You know what? I just haven't seen anything before, so why would I see anything there? And it's the spirit of self-sabotage. So if we could just pray, you know what? I honestly believe God can do a quick work. And it doesn't have to be long and drawn out. It can be the spirit of God is here. The spirit of God brings freedom. He brings liberty. And then you will look back at this day's January 3rd, 2021. I am reconciled with my past. I'm reconciled. My past does not have a hold of me. Yes, you will see scars on here, but God has the victory and I'm walking in his victory and he's my deliverer. And this is my testimony and this is part of who I am. I had a dear friend that says the good, the bad, and the ugly is what makes you who you are. Do you know what I mean? It's all reconciled. It's all under the blood of Jesus Christ. And so I don't have to let it pull me back into where the Lord wants to take me. Let's see. If you want to stand, you can stand. If you want to sit, you can sit. We're just going to be reconciled with the past. So what I want you to do, so if something comes to mind, anything I said, the weariness, the sorrow, the grief, the pain, the heartache, disappointment, unmet expectations, the questions, what should have been, what could have been, unfulfilled promises and prayers, regret, trials, trauma, the loss, it all caused bitterness. I just will make one comment about unforgiveness. Some of us are waiting. You're waiting for that person to come to you and tell you that they're sorry. You're waiting for that person to come and repent. And I'm not saying that what they haven't done has not been hurtful and has not been horrific. I'm not even saying that. But what I am saying is that that unforgiveness will hold you and cement you and cause you to be a monument. And it will memorialize the past that you don't want it to be memorialized. We don't want to memorialize, become a monument of pain, suffering, and grief. And all of a sudden, there's a monument of that pain, the suffering, the grief. Here's another thing of pain, suffering, grief, sorrow. So what I kind of saw, whatever you see, whatever monument you see right in front of you, this is what I felt. So the word of God comes like a hammer and a fire. So what I want you to visualize in your hand, whether right hand or left hand, you have a big sledgehammer. So right in front of you, whatever monument, you might have more than one. Just go after them all. So in your hand, I want you to visualize, and this is just an act of faith, a prophetic act. I want you to see whatever it was, whatever situation, whatever the pain, the bitterness, the sorrow, the grief, the trauma, the crisis, whatever it is. And I'm sure it's probably labeled right in front of you, the monument. Monuments are labeled. They have titles on them. And whatever you see, I literally want you to see in your hand that sledgehammer, and I want you to demolish him. So here you go. So just whatever it is, I'm just going to allow you some time to go after and to demolish it in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you that you, Holy Spirit, have given us power. You have given us power. You've given us authority. So Lord Jesus, in our hand, we just demolish. We demolish and we shatter these monuments. We shatter these monuments in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Did everybody get a chance to demolish them? I don't want to rush anybody. Everybody's demolishing. Okay. So Lord Jesus, we ask now by the Spirit of God and by the blood of Jesus that as we view the past, that you actually give us the lens to see it through heaven. Lord, that there has been a change and an exchange, that our past is actually covered by the blood of the Lamb. It is covered by the blood of the Lamb, and it does not hold us back from any promises of God. It does not hold us back from any movement, forward movement, motion, ascending. It does not hold us back. That when we look back at our past, Lord Jesus, we can declare the goodness of God and the victory of the King in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 I just want to read to you out of Psalm 59, and this is actually a Psalm of David. And let me just give you a little background. So David had already been anointed king by Samuel. So he was holding on to the promise that God said he was going to be king. And in the midst of this, Saul, the present king, well, he's kind of becomes like this raging lunatic. And he decides, I'm after you, David. And so if you read, you can go back, but you can read this, but this is actually from 1 Samuel 19. When you read the story of David, David's like hiding out in the mountains. He's hiding in caves. He's hiding in dens. His life is always on the run because Saul is always after him to assassinate him. Now, I don't know if any of us can really relate to that. I don't know if we've ever had assassins after our life. And I don't know if any of us have actually been that fearful of life that we're like hitting in caves and dens. But this is David. I just want to point this out, that David's emotions were very, very real. What he was experiencing is very real. And I don't want you to ever feel like that you cannot be real with the Lord with what you're going through. David was called a man after God's own heart. He was completely vulnerable. He just let it all out. He goes, Lord, this is what I'm thinking. This is what I'm feeling. And he would just pen it. And these are where the Psalms came from. So this is when he wrote this, when Saul's actually pursuing him, hunting him down. And this is what David writes. So just so you know, David's actually in a pit of pain. And those of you who've ever been in a pit of pain, you can totally relate. Especially for those of you who've ever struggled with depression, you will totally understand the darkness, the lack of hope, the bleakness that surrounds you when you're in a pit of pain. But I want to point this out because David says something quite amazing. This is what he says. So he starts out with, my God, protect me. Keep me safe from all my enemies, for they're all coming to kill me. Put me in a high place out of their reach, a place so high that these assassins will never find me. Save me from these murdering men, these bloodthirsty killers. You know, he doesn't really mince with words. He just says it how it is. See how they set an ambush for my life. They're fierce men ready to launch their attack against me. Oh, Lord, I'm innocent. Protect me. I've done nothing to deserve this. Yet they are already plotting together to kill me. Arise, Lord. See what they're scheming and come and meet with me. Awaken, O God of Israel, commander of angel armies. Arise to punish those treacherous people who oppose you. Don't go soft on these hard case killers. Okay, and then this is the Passion Translation, so they actually already explained what Selah means, and that means just take a pause. Pause in his presence. So after you begin telling the Lord about your pain, about your circumstances, your heartache, your grief, and your sorrow, let's just learn from David. David just pauses. He takes a breath. He just pauses, and he goes, okay, there needs to be a transition in my thinking. There has to be a transition because I can't stay in this pit of pain. And I think that's what ended up happening with Lot's wife. She just could not transition out of that pain, and she just became a monument of sorrow and grief. David chooses not to stay that way. So he chooses in this moment, it will be a choice. He chooses in this moment, okay, I'm just going to pause. I'm going to regroup. Lord, I know this is not the end story. This is not the final chapter. But this is not my narrative. You are actually going to show yourself and reveal yourself to me in a way I have not encountered. So he pauses. And then he goes on to say, after dark they came to spy, sneaking around the city, snarling, prowling like a pack of stray dogs in the night, boiling over with rage, shouting out their curses, convinced they will never get caught. So then this is the whole turning point right here. This is where pausing in the presence of the Lord will cause a change and a transition. But you, Lord, break out laughing at their plans. Can you see the difference in the tone? All of a sudden, there's a whole mind shift. The tone changes. His declarations, his proclamations, all of a sudden, truth starts speaking out of his mouth. It's okay to share your heart with the Lord. You have to be vulnerable with the Lord. Don't stay in that grief and not see the truth of the matter. This is the truth. Amused by their arrogance, scoffing at their simple ways, my strength is found when I wait upon you. Watch over me, God, for you are my mountain fortress. You set me on high. The God of passionate love will meet with me. My God will empower me to rise and triumph over my foes. Don't kill them. Don't kill them. Stagger them all with a vivid display of power. I actually love this because I'm like, the whole world needs to see the glory of the Lord. The whole world needs to stand in awe and wonder of God. So when you're in those situations and in those moments, so transition yourself. Just get silent before the Lord and go, I am going to pause in your presence, Lord, because I'm not going to stay here. You called me to transition out. I'm not going to stay in this pit of pain. I'm going to transition, and wait a minute, I'm going to transition, and literally you crawl yourself out of the pit by making declarations of who God is. And then God, when I come out of this, you're going to display your power, your glory, and all the world's going to see. And then he goes on, and scatter them with armies of angels, O mighty God, our protector. So I thought we could practice. I thought we could practice together. How about that? We're going to practice together. So stand up. We're going to practice together. So right here in your mind, I want you to think of three words. We're just going to think of three. Three words that you can declare. Because let me tell you, because in a moment when you are feeling the hurt, the pain, the heartache, you're going to need something that you can reach out and grab. Like really easy, reach out and grab. Because do not stay in your pit of pain. Transition out. You have your three words. Okay, you're going to say them as loud as you can. So say your three. Okay, so I'm going to count you off. So you're just going to say them out loud. So your three words. Everybody has your three words that you can actually declare who God is. Everybody has them. Okay, ready? One, two, three. Healer, deliverer, and savior. So wait a minute. So now what I want you, we're going to say it again, but I want you to hear someone else's. And I want you to kind of say yours, but I want you to listen to your neighbor. So now you have six. So okay, so we're going to multiply. Because I think we should all have more than three. So listen, for some of us, it's easier than others to declare in that moment, but I want all of us to have six. So just go back to your three, but at the same time as you're declaring, you're also listening so that we can have six. Okay, are you guys ready? All right, so we're going to climb out any pit of pain by declaring who God is. Okay, ready? One, two, three. Redeemer, restorer, bridegroom. You guys got it? You guys got it? Do not stay in your pit of pain. You can have a seat. All of this leads me to where I feel like the Lord wants us for this next year, for transitioning, and that we are dreamers. We cannot dream if the past is holding on to us and we make monuments of what didn't happen and what should have happened, and we make monuments of just pain and grief and heartache and sorrow. A hope-filled people are a dreaming people. A faith-filled people are a dreaming people. And I just want to encourage you. I got to spend this last week with a gentleman who's probably the ultimate dreamer. But he dreams in the way of being an entrepreneur and business. And because of that, there's money involved. And if I got the story right, I think his first time he was a millionaire was at 27. This is the ultimate dreamer in the area of business. Business deals, creating businesses, consolidating them, going into something new. Nothing. He's not afraid of anything. You know, it went from go-kart businesses to orange orchards to log homes to castings, which is worm poop. He got into that, into organic beef. I mean, he's like open to anything because he's a dreamer. Just dreams. And he would sing to me, dream the impossible dream. Do you guys remember that from Man of La Mancha? Dream the impossible dream. Okay, I'm talking. Oh, crickets. Okay, it's okay. I know you don't really want me to start singing the dream the impossible dream. But without a dream, you cannot live purposely. Your dreams cause you and drive you to your purpose, and your calling and your destiny is your dream. Can I just tell you, no matter your age, you are called to dream. And some of you have dreams that you've put, I think probably maybe like Lot's wife, like what happened to that? And it has become a monument of like, see, it just never happened. See, I really felt this. I really wanted this. And that's what I felt like the Lord. Now look at my age and it's never going to happen. You just need to take your sledgehammer, chop that down, because with the Lord, there is no time. He can make up that time. And I honestly think too, with our dreams, he will connect us with people who are very administrative, who can help put that into motion. And some of you will even financially help support other people's dreams. But it will be definitely like this family thing. Like, you have a dream. What's your dream? What's your dream? We'll start asking you, what's your dream? Okay, so how can we start putting movement to that dream? You got a dream. Because that dream is part of God's plan, his purpose, and his calling, and the vision for your life. For us to live purposely, we have to be a dreaming people. I would like us to pray. So you guys, can I just tell you, when I usually give a message, it's where I've been, where I'm at, and where I want to go. So when I get up here, it's always where I've been, where I'm at, where I go. I want to be a dreaming person, and it has been a real struggle for me. I grew up very practical, and there's nothing wrong with that. So those of us who grew up practical, we can relate to one another. Dreaming wasn't so much practical, right? Because what if it didn't happen? What if you start doing something and like it never works out? What if you put your money and your time into it and it doesn't work? I mean, it's just not practical. So why don't you do the things you know you're supposed to do and just, you know, live your life that way? We just need to be free from that kind of thinking, because that's not of the Lord. We have a dreaming God. And so I'm going to pray over us, and then I have these amazing men up here that are going to lead us into dreaming. But you can stand up if you want, if you like. I like standing up and down, and that way you don't get too comfortable. And that's one thing I want to pray over you, that curiosity overtakes comfort. And I'll say that again. Lord, I'm asking that curiosity overtakes comfort, that we do not become a people that are comfortable.
Yes, Lord.
That we are always curious in the spirit. So let me just, you want to put your hand on your head? I'm just going to lead you through a prayer, and then these gentlemen will help. Okay, in the name of Jesus. Oh, I'm sorry. You're going to repeat after me? Okay, ready? In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I break agreement.
I break agreement.
With small thinking.
With small thinking.
I break off.
I break off.
From my mind.
From my mind.
Repetitive thinking.
Repetitive thinking.
I declare.
I declare.
Over my life.
Over my life.
That God is releasing.
That God is releasing.
A new mindset.
A new mindset.
New thoughts.
A new thought.
New plans.
New plans.
New ideas.
New ideas.
New creativity.
New creativity.
And a fresh anointing.
And a fresh anointing.
I declare.
I declare.
I am a dreamer.
I am a dreamer.
And this is the season.
And this is the season.
To step out.
To step out.
And put motion to my dreams.
To put motion to my dreams. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Father, right now for that transition. Yes, yes, yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. And Lord, we come against those words right now from others that have brought limitations into our life. Words that have established monuments of their failures when we didn't even have a chance yet to fail or to try. And so, Father, we take that sledgehammer of your word right now and we tear down the monuments and expectations of others that are less than what you've called us to be, that keep us from becoming who you've called us to be, that keep us from seeing the dreams and living the dreams that you've called us to live. Father, we bless them and we release them to you. We know they did the best that they could, may had malicious intent, whatever the issue is. We refuse to live under their shadow. We refuse to let their lives be the monument by which we live anymore. So we break those down in the name of Jesus, and we just say today that, Lord, in this decree, in this declaration, that, Father, we are free to dream. We are free to dream according to your word. And, Father, we declare that we have ears to hear and eyes to see your word in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for that freedom tonight, today. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
I want everybody who's 50 or older to raise your hand. 50 or older, raise your hand. Reason being is this, we're not coasting the last few years of our lives.
Come on, yes.
Right? And I really feel like the Lord said, you know what, you might not see it with your eyes, but your grandkids will and your kids will. So you got to understand we're living generationally.
Come on.
We're living generationally. So I want us to commit to dreaming. Even if we're older, we don't go out with a gasp, we go out with a roar.
Yeah.
Right? So would you lift your 50 year old over? This is just, I'm not segregating this, but we are. Father, for us who are older, Father, we're not going to retire ever from your kingdom.
Yes. Come on.
Come on.
Father, we're not going to get older and then just become selfish. Father, we give ourselves again this new year. We're all in. We're all in to your kingdom.
Come on.
We're all in, Father God, for your purposes and plans. Give us dreams. You promised that your old men and women will dream dreams in the last days. Here's the candidates. Here we are. Give us dreams, Lord God, not only for our life, but for our kids and our grandkids.
Yes.
Give us dreams for our nieces and nephews. Give us dreams, Lord, for those children in our neighborhood. Give us dreams, Father God, that we might live a fulfilled life and not just kind of endure to the end. Mm. And Father, I pray, even in this time, in this season, where we might think, well, what about my retirement? Is there going to be enough retirement income there? Lord, you promised, seek first the kingdom and your righteousness,
yes,
and everything we need will be provided by your hand.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we're not pulling back. We're leading the way. And I pray, Father, in this house, there will be multiplied mothers and fathers of the faith.
Yes.
That will step in and say, I'll love you and I'll support you and I'll serve you and I'll bless you. Father, in the name of Jesus,
come on,
for your glory and honor. And if you're 50 or more, would you say yes and amen?
Yes and amen.
Let it be done.
Come
amen.
On. Yes, thank you, Jesus.
Father, we thank you that the promised land is a land of dreams.
Come on.
Come on. We just thank you for that. This truly is the family business. This is life together with you. That we would release the kingdom from where we stand. We know that the Lord is with us. We know that his promises are yes and amen. We know that his nature is good. So we just thank you for that. And I thank you. I feel like the heavenly host is moving on our behalf in this time like we've never thought possible before. As we were reading Psalm, it was prophesying about the commander of the angels' armies and the host of angels moving on behalf of heaven. And I was reminded as I was just thinking about what I would pray about, and I was led to Joshua 5, where they're marching around Jericho, and there's this moment. We've all been put in this moment where people are asking us to decide. Are you for this side or are you for that side? But the commander of the angel's army says, I'm not for this side and I'm not for this side. And Joshua's response is our response. We look at him, we get on our knees, and we say, what is the word of the Lord?
Yes.
How should we follow? We will follow you. This is our decision. This is our time of decision. And the angel tells him this. He says, take off your shoes, for this is holy ground.
Yes, Lord.
For this is holy ground. I say 2021, this is holy ground. Yes.
Yes.
Where the Lord fights your battle. How do we win? We begin to release worship and praise.
Yes.
Worship and praise.
Come on.
So let's do this together. I'm going to have you take off your shoes. I wore the worst ones for this. So take your shoes off right now. This is a prophetic agreement. Come on, we're on holy ground right now, you guys. We cannot fail.
Hey, thanks.
Come on. Yeah, if you have holes in your socks, we're going to see them. All right. Okay, some of you may need to step forward in this. This is called prophetic agreement, okay? This is fun.
Jesus.
All right, we're allowed to have fun at church, okay? But this is our yes to the Lord, acknowledging that this is a holy season that we are in. Mm. And the only way that we move forward is to worship and to praise. And it that makes it very simple for you. You don't have to have the perfect strategy. You need to worship. Okay, we ready to do this? All right, I want you to take a step forward. Father, we acknowledge right now that our feet, it's on holy ground. That in the promised land, that this is a land of promise.
Yes.
And we begin to dream with you. May the dreams that you've put in our heart not be buried deep, but to come to the surface. Even now, Holy Spirit, would you quicken your presence, just even a memory. See, that when you pray, he doesn't forget. So we thank you even that you would begin to bring out a book of remembrance. Mm. Open it before us this week. Open it before us this year and remind us of the things that we've prayed, of the things that we've released, of the things that touched and moved your heart. We thank you again. This is a time to dream, and we thank you that we are in a promised land. Thank you, Jesus. You are so good. Amen.
Yes, 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 Lord Jesus. Come on, come on, come on. Come on. Come on, come on. Mm. Mm. Jesus. Do you have more?
I just have this one thing. Yeah. I'm going to have Josh lead this into this. I just feel like laughter and joy needs to overcome the mourning. And some of us have been in a season of just fatigue and weariness and mourning. And just things have happened. But I just feel like just to hear, just sit for, anyways. Okay. I'm sorry, but you just start hearing him chuckle, and how could you not just start? So just, there's Pastor Mike. So just, okay, I'm going to give you a microphone on.
Yeah.
So just start letting it out. Sometimes
yes.
That river, I just declare now there is a river of life. So place your hand on your stomach.
Jesus.
Place your hand. I say river of life, break open. River of life, breakthrough, breakthrough, breakthrough. I say the joy of the Lord bubble up.
Lord.
Joy of the Lord bubble up. So just let it out, even
you
if you just have to fake it in the beginning. Fake in the beginning until it comes.
Yes. Oh, Father. Woo! Come on. Yes. Yes.
Oh,
hallelujah.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Come on. Come on. Come on. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord.
Oh,
hallelujah. Yes, let it break forth. Yes,
oh,
yes,
Father,
yes. Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Come on, we declare the joy of the Lord is good medicine. Come on, the joy of the Lord is good medicine. Yes, yes, yes. Oh, come on. Yes. Oh, Father, the
Jesus.
Freedom,
come on, we thank
the
you.
Breakthrough in the joy of the Lord. Come on, the promises that come to life in the joy of the Lord. Yes, yes, amen. Come on. Hallelujah.
Oh, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Oh, Father, that we would be a people so overflowing with joy that it reveals promises to other people. Come on, can I just give you a word of encouragement? That we would see the Holy Spirit move on your life with words of knowledge for other people.
Yes.
Because you have so apprehended your own promises.
Yes.
That you can't help but look at someone else who's not living in their promises.
Yes.
And you would have words of knowledge for them. Hey, have you ever thought of, man, when I look at you, I see this. And Lord, we would blow them out of the water. Because it would so resonate with what they carry
come on.
And who they know they're supposed to be, but they're not yet.
that we would be so filled with the joy of the Lord that it would literally break over other people, the restrictions of their dreams, the nightmares, the terrors, whatever it is that's restricting the dreams, that our laughter, that our joy would pierce and penetrate and break and shatter their limitations. Come on, can you see it? Can you see yourself being so filled with the joy that all of a sudden the people around you are just breaking free? They don't even know what's going on. But they're like, man, you make me feel good. Man, I haven't felt this free. I'm thinking of things and dreaming of dreams that I don't know where they're coming from. And you just laugh with them and say, oh, I know where they're coming from. Let me show you. Let me show you the giver of life. Oh, man, if the world would just get a dose of us living in the joy of promises fulfilled.
Come on. Come on.
Of us living in dreams. But it starts with us. It starts with us encountering. It starts with us inviting. It starts with us taking the sledgehammers to those monuments. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Hallelujah. Come on. Hallelujah.
Come on.
Hallelujah. Yes. Right. Yes. 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 Can I got, sorry, just another picture. Man, we love the season of Christmas. We love the beauty of the birth of Jesus. We get it. We can't ever get away from it because it's the testimony of Jesus bringing salvation. But I feel like we have so aligned ourselves with a crying baby that we don't release the roar of a lion. And there's nothing wrong with identifying with the cry of a baby. But he's coming back as the roar of a lion. He's coming back as the lion. And there's this shift that Jennifer was talking about, this transition, just even in the spirit of going, Lord, I've been a whiner and a crier for a long time, needing help, needing milk, needing, you know, just what a baby needs. But Lord, come on. Come on. There's a roar. Yes. Come on. Yeah, there's a roar. Come on. Yes, Jesus. Come on. Come on. There's a roar. There's a laughter. Come on. Come on. Yet that, Lord, we would be a people who just know how to release that roar, that laugh. Come on. And be seen as something mighty. For we are mighty in you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Come on. Yeah.
So good.
No, you said Veronica had a word?
Yeah.
Yeah, Veronica, you had a word? Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Just, we're going to wrap it up here. And so, Lord, can we honor Jennifer? Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't forget your shoes. I know you're so caught up in the spirit. You'll recognize you don't have your shoes on when you walk outside. So, Veronica, thank you.
God's word says to guard your hearts above all things, for out of it flows the issues of life. Put a guard before your mouth, for our words are a creative force. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. But what is in your heart? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Search your heart. Ask God to search your heart and to create in you a clean heart as David did. And remember, David encouraged himself in the Lord when he was in hard times. It was perilous times when captive Israel went into Babylon. But there were those like Daniel who saw beyond the captive times. He was in his heart did not become captive, and he saw the fullness of time he was in, and he did not say this is the time and to go out of this place and do nothing. But he positioned himself, fasted and prayed. He came into agreement with what had been prophesied. We must not hang our hearts upon the willows, those weeping willows, like they hung their harps. And that was their praise and their worship and their, you know, their glory that they gave to God. They had laid that down, hung it up with weeping. We mustn't do that. Keep your heart stayed on God and His goodness, His love, and see what God will do for you. You are not captive, but free to be above these times, to come into agreement with what God says. And I want to prophesy to you right now that, and this was a prophecy I got when I was about 31 years old. It's been some time. And it was about a tidal wave or a tsunami of God that was going to go through those dikes that man has built, go through those walls that the enemy has built, and it's going to saturate that dry land. It's going to overcome those things that have tried to hold back the knowledge of the glory of God, that will cover the earth as the water covers the sea. And we stand there and we look at that ocean of glory that's coming, and we say, come, let it come in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hey, we want to say thank you for joining us. Okay, one more. Yep.
I only do this because last night I put this scripture up on my screens at home. It's very apropos to what you spoke today. It's taken out of Isaiah 43:19. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland.
Amen. Amen.